seated. We're so glad that you're here. The last 2 weeks, I want to thank Sister Ruth for speaking a couple of weeks ago and then Dr. Mark last week. So I always enjoy hearing the physical death of Jesus Christ. It just opens up my understanding more and more. I want to encourage the women to get signed up for Mother's and Other's Day brunch coming up May 3rd. Susie Fletcher is going to be the speaker. And so I hope you'll join us and bring someone with you. And then continue to remember Tim and Michelle. If you're on social media, you've probably seen that her mom passed away Easter Sunday morning. And the funeral will be next Monday. The viewing will be 11 to 12. The funeral will be at 12 at Upchurch in Cumberland. So just continue to remember them and just ask God for grace and mercy. And thank you that prayed for my dad. He had a watchman put in today and he's home and doing well. So thank you very much. It's always a little bit tough being this far away, but I know that God has him, and my sister was there, and so that's wonderful. We're going to continue on with building biblical lives. J.D. Greer said, if you want to be led by the Spirit of God, then devote yourself to the Word of God. We need the Word. We need to get in the Word, and we need the Word to get into us. We need it more and more, particularly the days we're living. We need to know what the Word says and be ready. We were studying in Ephesians 4 a couple of weeks ago. We're going to jump back in there. We didn't make it very far. But for those of you coming out of small groups, I encourage you to go back and read Ephesians 1 through 3. And you can go listen to the podcast if you'd like. But the truth is, each week pretty much stands on its own. The Word of God is living and active. It's powerful. I can preach a message off of just a few verses and in that time. But for a few moments, we're going to recap the highlights of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul wrote this book of Ephesians to the church at Ephesus while he was on house arrest in Rome. Ephesus had a special place in his heart. He was there for some 3 years teaching, discipling, evangelizing, and he endured a lot of opposition. But how many of you know when God is moving greatly, there will be opposition? And God used him mightily with miracles and signs and wonders, and demons were cast out. And many extraordinary things happened. When you look in the first three chapters, we have found that the great gift of salvation we have received through grace by faith. While we were dead in our trespasses and sins, God made us alive in Christ. Aren't you glad to be alive in Christ? A new creation. He sealed us through the power of his Holy Spirit, and he caused us to sit in heavenly places. I love this. He blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. There's nothing that we lack to live an overcoming life. He chose us. He predestined us. He redeemed us. He adopted us. A scripture that I have just grown to love is John 1, 16 and 17, and out of his fullness, out of the abundance of his fullness, we have all received one grace after another, one spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, gift heaped upon gift. One of the things that I've asked you to do, and I'm going to continue to, is 39 times in this chapter, in this book, Paul writes the phrase, in Christ, in him, in Christ Jesus. I want that to begin to jump out at you because it's 100 and some times in his writings, but 39 times in this book. It lets us know of our connection with the Lord, that we have been bought with a price, we are adopted in, and we have been engrafted in the vine. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. So when you see those phrases, I want you to let it resonate in you and think about who you are in Christ. When you look at Acts 17:28, in him we live, we move, and we what? Have our being. When you look in chapters 1 and 3, Paul prays these apostolic prayers that we would walk in the wisdom and the revelation and the power, the supernatural power of Christ. He prays that we would be strengthened in our inner man through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would know what the depth and width and length of Christ's love is for us, that there would be no doubt who we are in him, and that we would be filled with all the fullness of God, all, no lack again. We also find in Ephesians that Christ's death made it possible for our redemption and deliverance from the bondage of sin. Because of his death, it tore down the partition, that wall that separated us, and now Gentiles and Jews alike have the benefit of walking with Christ. We are his church, his temple, his dwelling place. As we're moving into Ephesians chapter 4, we know who we are now in Christ. We know what we were created to do. We are his workmanship. We were created to sit in heavenly places. As we move into chapter 4, we're going to find these next three chapters contain practical instruction for us on how to live our life in Christ and how to grow in the grace that he has lavished upon us. And this is where our faith becomes action. This is where we implement the things that we know and begin to become rooted and grounded in Christ. I've shared this before, but I want to give credit where it's due. I have a full life study Bible. It's now called the Fire Bible. I love the study guides in it, the helps, the resources. And I've also gleaned a lot from Chuck Swindoll's Living Insights, his commentary. So there will be some of the resources that I pull in tonight. But I want you to go to Ephesians 4 with me, if you will. And Paul, we studied this 3 weeks ago, but I just want to touch a couple of things because we're going to springboard into the rest of the chapter tonight in Ephesians 4. But he starts this chapter off with a very strong exhortation to become a living example of Christ. He hits it head on. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. How many of you know bearing is not always easy? Not a lot of amens. That was low. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. When you look at this first verse, Paul is using very strong, passionate language and verb form as he calls the Christian to move forward, to not just sit there, but we're to walk. He said, I beseech you to walk. Other translations say, I urge you, I implore you, I exhort you to walk worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And I want to remind you of this. As believers, we're all called to righteousness. We're all called to be salt and light. We're all called to be imitators of God. We're all called to the ministry of reconciliation. We're all called to bear with one another in love. We're all called to worship. It is not the worship team's job to do our part. Amen? We're all called to serve. Amen. That's right. To serve. Yes. We're all called to pray. As a matter of fact, we're supposed to pray how? Without ceasing. We're all called to grow up in Christ, who is the head of all things. We're called to walk worthy of our calling. That phrase, to walk, refers to our conduct. It's not a literal walking, though we will be doing that as well. It's the way we live. It's the way we talk. It's the way we lead. It's a lifestyle based on the Word of God. This is our guidebook. This is our compass. That's why it's so important to know what it says. Because the more that we get in this Word and we understand God, who's the author and the finisher of our faith, it doesn't become about rules any longer. It's not about the do's and the don'ts. It's about who He is and who I am in Him and how He can use me and what a difference we can make and what a legacy we can leave, what a riverbed we can be, the gateway for His glory. So we get in that work. We're called to walk worthy based on His Word. Colossians 1 and 10 puts it in this context. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. We never plateau to where we've come to a point that we don't keep growing. Now, I don't know about you, but I find the longer I live, the less I know. I think we go through a point where we feel like we know a lot, and then we realize we don't know that much, and we become very dependent upon the things of God. So we spent a week talking about our walk, and tonight we're going to move on into chapter 4, and we're going to start with verse 7, so feel free to follow along in your Bible. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of God's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who has descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And we know that heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. There's nowhere we can go from the presence of God. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the fullness of Christ. Listen to this, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I like what Rick Warren said about the church. He said he created the church to meet your five deepest needs: a purpose to live for, people to live with, principles to live by, a profession to live out, and power to live on. There's no other place in earth that meets those, has those benefits in one place. We're the church. And at the goal of the Christian is to grow and to go. We're to grow up in Christ and we're to go make disciples of all men. We're all part of the body of Christ. We all have gift or gifts of grace to serve one another with. We're one body with many members, but yet we're a family. Pastor Ray Stedman said, we easily forget that the church is a body. We have tried to operate the church as an institution, a corporation, a business. But the reality Paul wants us to grasp in Ephesians is that the church is the body made up of cells, and the cells are individual believers. You and me and other brothers and sisters in Christ. Each cell has a unique role to play in keeping the entire body healthy. The little toe is important. The head is important. The ears are important. Every part is important. You are important. God has given us motivational gifts, grace gifts. He's given us ministry gifts, and he's given us manifestation gifts so that we can grow together in the kingdom. And when we can grab a hold of this and we begin to walk in the anointing that God has placed upon our lives, the church will explode. It will have to. It will grow because we're working together as one. It's not just a few people carrying the load trying to get the job done, but we have everybody working together, functioning. 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of you, say that's me, each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well. This was not a suggestion. He said, use them well to serve one another. When you look in Romans 12, it said, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. We're talking about motivational gifts. We all have at least one, something that is a natural flow for us. It's God-given. It's something that we can flow in naturally. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't fine-tune or grow or develop or exercise or practice our gifts, but we grow in those gifts that God gives us. It could be serving, hosting. We read several in here already. They're motivational gifts that God gives us to serve one another in the body. How much more could we accomplish? I would say that there's probably musicians that could be playing, singers that could be singing. I would say there are those that probably could take on temple keepers and clean once a month, clean for a month, 1 week a month. I would say that there are those that could do outreach ministry. We know that there are many that do all these jobs already. There are those that can pray, intercede, stand in the gap. All of these things are important. And then he gave ministry gifts that we just read in Ephesians 4, the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, the prophet, the teacher. This is the fivefold ministry that he's given to the church to equip the saints, to help us to grow up. He didn't give this to the fivefold ministry to do the work of the church, all of the work. He gave the fivefold ministry to equip the believers so that we can begin to walk in the gift that God has given us. And then he gave manifestation gifts or spirit gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gift of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. These manifestation gifts come alongside our motivation gifts and our ministry gifts to equip us to walk in kingdom power and kingdom authority and move the kingdom forward. Jack Hayford said, Jesus gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yet when the Spirit comes, he is loaded with packages. He desires to release much more in us and through us than we could ever imagine. These gifts are given for delivery, not for accumulation. We receive them to pass them on to others. The goal of the church is growth, equipping, serving, building up. That's the goal of the church. And people come in and get saved. We work together, we serve together, we worship together, we pray together. Each part joined and knit together by us supplying to one another what is needed, every part doing its share, it causes growth in the body. It can't be stopped. It also brings us into a spirit of unity, which is what we're called to do. When we flow in our gift and we put Christ first, and he is the head of all things, and it's all about him. It's not about us. It's about him. How many of you like your own way sometimes? I mean, go ahead and be honest. We do. But it can bring a lot of division and a lot of tearing down. It can do it in a marriage. But when we put God first and we flow together toward him, it brings us into a spirit of unity. It aligns us. That's why he said you have to bear with one another in love. You have to learn to die to self, work together, serve one another, compliment one another. There's going to be times you can lead, but then there needs to be times when you can follow and let someone else lead. The goal is that we grow up, that we're equipped, that we work together. Here's the truth about it. We're all physical representations of Christ. We all are. We're all ministers of reconciliation. We're all called to lead others to Jesus. That's our ultimate goal, is to go into the harvest and to reap and to bring people into the kingdom. Our life is a living epistle. It's written in red by all men. It's not really so much what we say. It's how we represent him. Some of the greatest influences in my life have been people that didn't say a lot. It's how they lived. It's how they worshiped. It's how they prayed. It's how they served that spoke volumes. As believers, we're all called to exercise our faith and pray for the sick and the wounded. We're all his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We're all who have breath in our body are called to worship. We're all called to grow up in Christ. We're all called to serve. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. He came with towels, not titles. The purpose of the spiritual gifts is to build up the body of Christ so that we can attain unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son. Unity is not uniformity. Aren't you glad we don't all think alike and act alike? And harmony is not monotony. It adds so much when there's diversity, when we come together. Don't you love it on a Sunday when you hear the worship team and they're singing in unison and then all of a sudden they'll break out in harmony and you can hear the crescendos and all those parts? That's the way it is with the body when we flow and we bear and we work and we serve. It's unity and it's harmony. Bill Johnson said, gifts are free, maturity is expensive. We're all called to grow up. That doesn't just happen because we come in here on a Sunday and a Wednesday. That takes some fortitude and surrender and word the rest of the week when we're not together. It takes commitment and determination and resilience. Takes loving Jesus more and the world less individually. And then when we come in, God can meet us here. And the truth is, for all of our gifts, there will be weaknesses. And we have to guard not to allow obstacles to block the flow of our motivational gifts. And I'll tell you, one of the biggest is fear and intimidation. We measure ourselves by other people, by their gifts, by what they can do. And sometimes we think, well, I don't contribute that much, or I'm not as gifted, or I'm not this, or I'm not that. And we allow fear and intimidation to feeling unworthy to deter us from using our gifts in the kingdom from flowing. We can allow the obstacle of anger. It can block the flow of effectiveness where we become bitter or jealous or hurt or whatever it is. Or we can just be short-tempered. And if things aren't going the way that we feel, we just pull back and we're not going to be a part. And it can hinder. We can have wonderful gifts. But if we don't have character with the gifts, it blocks the Spirit of the Lord from using us to our full potential. Now, we're all growing. If we have obstacles, let's let Holy Spirit show us and not be defeated by it. Let's recognize it, call it what it is, confront it, and move forward. That's not always easy, to be honest with ourselves, is it? Irresponsibility. Pastor has always said opportunities will not create faithfulness, but faithfulness will create opportunities. I've seen people with great abilities. They can do wonderful things, but there's no commitment. There's no desire to be faithful. There's no desire to serve unless it's convenient. How many of you know it's not convenient to die to self, to serve, to be available? It's not convenient to worship while you weep. It's not convenient to serve when you're suffering, when you're going through your own battles and things, but it's rewarding. It's where we grow in the grace and the mercy and the love of God. It's where we see who He is. It's where we see facets of His glory that we cannot find any other way. There's no shortcuts. Who can ascend to the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. There's a price that we pay to become Christ-like. And irresponsibility will keep us. I've seen people get upset and leave and get mad because they weren't used when they wanted to be used, but they weren't faithful to be here when you needed them to be here. It doesn't work that way. Sin will block or distort the working of your gift. Sin, things that the Holy Spirit waits will keep us from growing in the grace of God. Every one of us grow and mature as we walk in the giftings that God has given to us and we make ourselves available. Each of us have strengths and we have weaknesses, but we can't use our weaknesses as an excuse not to serve. We're being called out tonight, aren't we? From His word. The goal in our lives is to become an imitator of Christ. I may not lead in every area, but I can still contribute. We've got to exercise our gifts. I'm going to say it again. For them to be developed, we have to use them. And how many of you know that sometimes we go outside of our gifting to serve? We go outside of what's comfortable to grow in the grace of God, and it expands who we are, and God helps us in that. There may be some things that are not natural or come natural for you, but you serve anyhow, and God creates opportunities, and He helps you to grow in areas and become more Christ-like. Do you know small things can make an eternal difference? Small things. Just small things. We're called to use our gifts to keep growing and going and allow Holy Spirit to do a work deep within our lives. We're called to serve. We're called to serve. I was just thinking today, even as I was praying, I thought, God, I feel like there's so many more things that You want us to do and that You want us to accomplish. Not to be busy for busy's sake. I want you to understand what I'm saying. That doesn't bring glory to God. But I'm talking about dreams and visions that people have for outreaches, for things that are burning in your heart that you could lead and orchestrate and lead well, and many others would jump in and follow. I'm talking about small group leaders that are willing to once or twice a year, that you have the gift to teach, you have the gift to mentor, to love, that you study and you take 6 weeks twice a year or once a year. And I know that it costs, I know that it's work, but you do it because it changes people's lives and it causes you to grow and it causes the church to grow. And it becomes a point. I've heard of one church that I'm very familiar with their pastors, and they literally have more in small groups than they do on Sunday morning because it has become an outreach for them. And there are people that don't necessarily come to church all the time, but they're being saved and they're growing by that. Serving in the capacity that God has called you in, gifted you in, the children, the youth, the kitchen, temple keepers, outreach, so many others, prayer, so many things, host ministries. We have a wonderful church. Aren't you thankful for that? You come in, you feel loved, you feel welcomed, you feel seen, because we have people that serve. We have people that you don't even know who comes in early in the morning and they shovel off the sidewalks and they put salt down in the winter and they plow and we come in and it's ready and the building is heated and warm and we come in and the building smells good and it looks good and it's refreshed. We have people that get a group and they come in, Debbie, and gets a whole group and they come in and they're like, it's time to clean the chairs. And for 2 weeks, they come in 2 different days and they scrub down every single chair. That's a heart of servitude after God. None of them ask for accolades. It isn't about that. You're important. Your worship is important. You do realize that's why the enemy fights prayer, is because it's powerful. You realize the reason that he fights you and intimidates you on a Sunday from keeping you from worshiping. I look silly. What are people going to say? I've had a rough week. I'm not worthy. I can't worship. You understand why he's doing that, don't you? Because when we come in a spirit of unity, God commands the blessing. It can't be stopped. Miracles are going to happen. People are going to be saved. People are going to be delivered. They're going to be set free. That's why the enemy fights you on every level, from serving and worshiping and praying and being faithful. But you know what we're doing? We're pushing through. We're pushing against that that's pushing against us. We're learning to press when we don't feel like it. We're learning to die to self when self wants to rise up. We're learning to hear the voice of God because we're getting in the Word of God and we're building biblical lives, and it's transforming and it's changing everything. It's changing the face of things. That's why Wednesday nights are growing, because God is moving and you're listening. And God is doing something so deep inside of every single one of us, and he's calling us to serve, to worship, to love, to bear with one another, to encourage one another, to exhort one another, to love one another. And we do all of that because we love him first. And then Paul circles back around. And in verse 17, he admonishes us again in our walk. He comes back to the walk after he talks to us about building up one another, growing in the faith, using our gifts. Then he comes back to our walk again. And he tells us to not walk in the futility of our mind, to not be unfruitful in our thinking, to not allow the vain philosophies of the day to darken our spiritual understanding that alienates us from a life of Christ, in Christ, of power, to where our hearts become hardened, to where we can sit in church and we can pick everything apart and we're not tender anymore. We can never get to the point where we do not plow up our own fallow ground, because we're all prone to drift. Every single one of us are prone to drift. calls us back, and then I want to pick up in verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, now here's what I'm talking about, that practical application, this is where it comes in, where we're all responsible now. The things the Holy Spirit shows us, we're responsible for. We can't blame anyone else. We're responsible. He's dealing with us. How many of you know I can't do the work for you? You can't do the work for me. We can pray for one another. But there comes that point when we have to be responsible. He says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You can't keep going back. You can't keep dabbling in the same areas that you dabbled before and expect to grow up in Christ. You've got to put it off. You've got to make some changes. Something that the Lord showed me years ago was others may, you cannot. I would argue with the Lord. Lord, I mean, it seems like you're blessing them and they seem to go do all kinds of things. And he said, what's that to you? What's that to you? You said you wanted to be more like me. You said you wanted to know me and my power. You said you wanted to serve me. So I had to put off, and I still do, the former conduct, some of the old thoughts. We have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind that we put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. It's not about that I'm going to dress a certain way, I'm going to have an exterior look a certain way, and that's going to make me holy. It's going to start from the inside, but when the inside gets cleaned up, it's going to be reflected on the outside. Therefore, put away lying. Let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. We're one body. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't give place to the devil. Don't let things take root so deep that you become hardened and crusty to the things of God or to what God wants to do. Don't give any place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. And listen to this. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And I just want to stop right here, because one thing that can set us apart as believers is our speech, the way we talk, the way we represent Christ. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And there's something about when God begins to sanctify us with the water of the word, that it cleans up our speech. It cleans up the things that we say. Not allowing anything vulgar or corrupt or demeaning, to think things that will be hurtful to come out of our mouth. And then he says, and don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Don't grieve him. Be sensitive to him. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And I want to close. We are all a work in process. All of us. But I hope we're also a work in progress, that we're moving forward, that we're allowing God. We haven't arrived yet. And the intent of the word, though it brings conviction and it brings comfort and it brings clarity and it brings all those things, it is never to bring condemnation. The intent is not to come in and hear a word and to allow it to burden you down and think of all the things that we're not doing or that we should be doing. It's to prompt us. It's to motivate us. It's to help us encourage one another to continue to grow in kingdom things and in the things of God. But I believe we are in a season, a new season. You know, Pastor's been preaching about the rain. And it's interesting to me, and some of you may see that as well, that when God is doing something in the earth and in the atmosphere, you'll go turn on other stations and you'll turn on other pastors and you'll hear them preaching along the same lines because it's a now word and it's what God is doing. We're in a season, I believe, of harvest. And we're in a season of the last days when we need to know the word of God and be sensitive to the word of God and love with the love of God and bear with one another. I need people to bear with me at times. No amens over there. You need people to bear with you at times. And yet we need one another. We need to encourage one another. Now I'm going to ask you to stand. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you have called us to grow and to go, that you have equipped us, that there's not anything that we lack according to your word. Lord, help us to get into your word and into prayer and into allowing you to transform us from the inside out. Help us to grab a hold of the dreams and the visions that you're putting there in this season, that we will work together maybe like never before, and we'll come together and we'll share those dreams and visions and we'll begin to go out and reap the harvest. We know it's harvest time. I pray for everyone that's in this room, God, you know exactly where they are tonight, what they have need of, what they're going through, what they're searching for, what they're seeking, what they need, and you're mindful. And I pray tonight, God, that you would have your way, that you would strengthen and encourage and overshadow and uplift and uphold each one, God. You'd help us to grow together in grace and in love and in mercy, and that you would just go with each one of us, even as we go to our homes, that you would protect and provide. And God, help us to walk in the purpose to which you've called us. And may we see facets of your glory this week that we have not experienced before as we yield and submit ourselves to you. And we give you the glory. And everyone said, amen.